Norris and Davis in the morning on 105.7 The Fan.
We were talking last segment about how NCAA President Mark Emmert might have created himself a can of worms and opened a Pandora's box with these heavy sanctions he put on Penn State, you know, showing wielding this big stick of power, so to speak. Now this story comes up.
You are going to get extra money in your check. You used three cliches in one sentence.
Did I?
Yeah. Pandora's box.
Yes, that was one.
What was the other one? Big stick was one.
Yes.
His old Teddy Roosevelt reference.
Yeah.
Pandora's box. There was one right before that.
Yeah, you're right. I did use a third one, and I can't remember what it was.
It was fantastic.
Earlier in the show, he said if the season ended today, my favorite.
That's your favorite.
That's
one.
That's my favorite one.
That was very funny.
Well, now we have the situation at Carolina and the potential longtime academic fraud. Dan Kane wrote an article in the Raleigh News Observer. He joins us now. And Dan, thanks for joining us this morning. From what you can see, how deep does this whole thing go?
Well, first of all, thanks for having me on your show. Now we're talking about possible academic fraud that's stretching back into the late 1990s,
yeah,
when Julius Peppers, first showed up on UNC's campus. His transcript indicates that these same classes that have been identified as no-show classes in the university's internal investigation that covered a span from 2007 to 2011, those classes are popping up on his transcript. Those are the classes that he did well in and appear to have kept him eligible to play sports at not just football, but basketball at Carolina.
Hey, Dan Kane, our guest on the Norris and Davis Show, Ken Wyman in for Steve. Dan, just briefly describing, obviously we've read the article, most people haven't, because this is frankly flying quite well under the radar nationally. I mean, this was brought to our attention. It's an incredible scandal, from what I'm reading. Could you just describe what happened? Because for a lot of people, football players and basketball players, it's no secret they get, they get steered toward easy classes and things like that traditionally. But this sounds like you had department heads complicit in this, where kids just never showed up. And were like just, their grades were buoyed just to keep them eligible.
Well, it was a department head. I mean, so far the evidence out there shows that you had the department head of the African and Afro-American Studies Department in North Carolina who was creating classes where, the students who got into them never had to meet. There was no class. There was no class time. There was no classroom. The students would basically just be told, do a paper and turn it in, at the end. And for the taxpayers of North Carolina, this is another concern. I mean, they're paying for this person to teach classes.
Right.
He's not doing it, or at least he's not doing it, at least in some of his classes. And these classes that where he wasn't doing it, there was a high percentage of athletes enrolled. Roughly two out of every three enrollments was an athlete. Football players accounting for more than a third of all enrollments, but basketball players as well. And as a basketball team is much smaller than a football team. It doesn't take that many players enrolled in
right.
these classes to kind of have an impact, on a team, So, matter of fact, there were two such classes. There was only one student in those classes. Both cases, it was a basketball player. I believe one of them was an intermediate Swahili class. Okay, so picture this. You've got a class in which you are supposed to be speaking and writing Swahili, and you're the only student in it. There is no class. And you write a paper, which I'm willing to bet was probably in English.
I was going to say, was there an introductory Swahili class to get you to the intermediate one?
Well, that's another interesting thing. If I recollect right, there was no prerequisite to get into the intermediate Swahili class.
Wow.
According to the, the university literature. And quite frankly, this whole thing starts with a Swahili class. And it also kind of ironically ends with an investigation. 2 years ago, the NCAA, I'm sure you guys have probably talked about this on your show, the infamous tweet by Marvin Austin where, he's talking about partying it up in South Florida, and in fact, he kind of was on an agent's tab. That, mm-hmm. Everything starts running from there. And, you know, the NCAA comes in, and you know, of course, we at the News Observer, we're also, you know, digging into this. And this wasn't me at that point. This was a couple of, you know, very good colleagues of mine, you know, Andy Curlis and Ken Titians, who were on it back then. And, you know, what gets rooted out is, you know, a lot of improper agent contact, you know, an assistant coach who was a recruiter who also happened to be in the agent business or had been. And then a tutor who was helping with you know, some of these students' papers. Well, one of those students was Michael McAdoo, you know, a defensive I believe a defensive end for the team.
Now with the Ravens on the IR.
Right. Yeah. And so he gets kicked off the team and argues that he should be allowed back on the team because all that really happened here in his case was he'd gotten some kind of minor, very small monetary benefit that he wasn't even aware of from a guy who I think they later identified as kind of like a runner for an agent. And also, you know, this tutor had, in the eyes of, you know, the NCAA and the university, you know, had helped, had done his footnotes and his bibliography for a Swahili paper, okay? Well, you know, at that point, you know, the investigation is largely done. You know, the players have been kicked off. Butch Davis, the coach, has been fired. The athletic director has agreed to retire early. You know, and basically, you know, this is just being dismissed as, you know, a case of plagiarism with McAdoo's paper because he fights to get back on the team. He makes the paper public. Some NC State fans ran that paper through a kind of a plagiarism, you know, web engine or whatever you want to call it, found some, you know, some passages that were clearly lifted. The university said, well, okay, we just need to do a better job, you know, catching plagiarism. But that's really, you know, that's the only issue there. You know, we've got this, you know, this is not a big academic issue. And, you know, the NCAA has done this thorough job, and we're kind of owning up to our problem behavior, and let's move forward. Well, okay, so that was July of last year. A short time later, I had been able to get a hold of a transcript of Marvin Austin's, okay? The transcript showed that he had taken one of these African studies classes in the summer before he'd even started his full slate of classes at the university. This was an upper-level African studies class. He was given a B+, and then his following opening freshman semester, he's taking remedial writing. And, you know, we published a transcript. We asked the questions. People then were saying, you know, this looks like an example of a transcript of somebody who's being put in classes to basically maintain his eligibility so he could stay on the team. And this African studies class was a red flag. You know, again, a B+, an upper-level class. He's taking it before he's even,
right,
you know, entering the university. And I started hearing that there were these no-show classes, that basically, you know, the classes were being put out there, but they weren't really meeting. And so I was requesting, you know, information on this. And about a couple of weeks later, you know, the university basically acknowledged, you know, we've got a problem here. We're seeing these academic irregularities. We're going to do this investigation. That took months. In May, they announced that they'd found 54 such classes, and nearly all of them are directly linked to this chairman. His name is Julius Nyangoro, and they also believe that the department manager, you know, kind of like the office secretary there, was also involved in basically allowing or creating these no-show classes. But at the time, when the university made this announcement, what they also said was, well, this is not a matter, we don't believe this is a matter for the NCAA because there were non-athletes who were getting in these classes. And basically what's happened since then is that, you know, that position has really, is just starting to get chipped away. As you know, we first find out that there were high numbers of athletes enrolled in the classes. Then we find out that, you know, Nangoro gets paid $12,000 for a summer class in 2011, where you know, he creates it literally 2 days before the start of the summer session. it immediately fills up with football players.
Hey, Dan, let me stop you a second. We got Dan Kane, the Raleigh News and Observer. You know, we got to put the Penn State scandal aside because that's a, you know, criminality at its worst, and we still don't know how complicit everybody was till the trial's over, all the trials. But this is a big deal. If this is all true, you've got a major institution conspiring to keep their athletes eligible and paying someone to basically lie that they've attended high-level class or mid-level classes. This is a pretty big deal. How come this isn't getting more attention?
You know, that's a hard question for me to answer. I think
this is a big scandal.
Well, it's obviously from what's happened this past week, the national attention is now there.
It's now there, but think about what's happened though. You've got guys, universities getting punished for guys selling jerseys and getting tattoos, and this is the people in charge complicit.
Well, let me change the question for you. What's the feeling down there as far as how hard the NCAA is going to hit North Carolina?
The NCAA has been mum about this. You know, when the university, announced the academic fraud, we contacted the NCAA, and all they did was send us a press release of, the penalties that they hit Carolina with over the agent stuff, from a year or so before. I mean, the sense you got from that was they just weren't going to look at this, and that they were in agreement with the university that because there were non-students, also in these classes, this therefore could not have been a scheme to help athletes. And, that logic is, to me, has been kind of suspect.
Well, I just find
funny. Story.
Emmerich, the president of the NCAA, has come out with the big stick and just beaten Penn State like a,
can of worms was the other one.
That was can of worms. He's beaten Penn State to death. And yet they mum on this. Dan, we're up on time. We'd love to talk to you again as this progresses, though. This is an interesting scandal.
Well, thanks for having me.
No, we'd love to have you back. Thank you.
Okay.
Dan Kane, Raleigh News Observer. It's amazing that this is not getting more attention.
This is huge. Intermediate Swahili. You don't speak a word of Swahili. And these guys
isn't
are being
an
kept
intro
eligible.
To Swahili?
There's no intro to Swahili. And you kept eligible, and no one's talking about this? Come on.